Welcome back to the final episode of the Idaho Farm and Ranch Show. The U.S. is again taking their dispute of Canada's dairy tariff rate quotas before a U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement dispute settlement panel. Here's Rod Bain with the details.
The latest development in U.S. efforts to expand market access of our nation's dairy exports to Canada were recently announced.
The United States Trade Representative has launched a second dispute panel request so that we can have a case in front of Canada that will lock them into the kind of market access that our dairy farmers deserve and expect.
That's U.S. Trade Representative's Office Chief Agricultural Negotiator Doug McCaleb. By way of background about this ongoing case within the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement framework.
Under the USMCA, the government of Canada made commitments to our U.S. dairy farmers that they would have entry for their products into the Canadian market. However, really what the ensuing couple of years showed was that the Canadian government did not provide the access that our producers felt would be fair and equitable.
That led to the initial U.S. request for a USMCA dispute settlement panel, leading to a December 2021 ruling favoring our nation in its challenge of Canada's dairy tariff rate quotas. Since then,
Canada's implementation, once the U.S. won that case, still didn't provide the market access our farmers deserved. And essentially, they locked out importers that were actual retailers and actual sizable importers.
As for how the dispute settlement process will work,
we bring the case, our findings, and our documentation to the panel. The way these things operate, we would expect to have a response and a finding from the panel in 2023. So that will take place within this calendar year. And we're really focused on this case that's in front of us. We think that we have got very clear and solid backing for it. We think our dairy farmers are in a very solid position.
Ambassador McCaleb is no stranger to the USMCA challenge to Canadian dairy policy, having worked on this issue as a senior advisor at USDA. He adds,
we want to make sure that we get all the market access that our farmers deserve, and that includes dairy farmers, includes all farmers. So we are going to look at the tools we have. We're going to exercise those tools, and that's exactly what we're doing under this UMCA panel request on dairy.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
And now, Paul Marchant shares with us the latest and last irons in the fire.
Hello there, this is Paul Marchant coming at you with another version of Irons in the Fire. Let me begin by saying it's been a privilege to be a part of this program these past several months. I hope that my small offerings have made a positive impact in spreading the good news of American agriculture. Back in the day when I was a Fair to Midland high school football player, I did my best to take heart in a phrase our coach often used in his efforts to get the most out of our small-town team. It's a phrase I, as a Fair to Midland High School basketball coach, have occasionally borrowed in my own feeble efforts to inspire the sons and daughters of the cowboys, dairy farmers, and migrant workers who make their homes in the high desert of southern Idaho's Oakley Valley. And the phrase is this: a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Now, when I was a high school junior, our football team, on the strength of a stout senior class, was good. And I mean really good. I think we spent most of the season ranked number one or two in the state's polls. We went through the first half of the season wondering actually what it would be like to have another team score a touchdown on us. Ultimately, our season ended in the state semifinals, where we lost when we tried to win the game with a two-point conversion in overtime, which failed. It was during this season the weakest link mantra was seared into my brain. Now, I'm a lot more Uncle Rico than I am Patrick Mahomes or Emmett Smith, but I wanted to believe it. And I tried, as a member of the team, to work as hard as I could to make sure the part of the chain that was me didn't snap and break the chain. Here's the thing, though. I didn't really believe or fully buy into the chain-inspired hype. You see, I didn't find my way onto the field during games all that much during the season of my junior year. The senior class is one of the biggest in history of the school, and that big class was loaded with some really big, strong, stout, surly lads. My role was mostly to serve as practice fodder for the guys who did the work and gained the glory in the games. I was pretty sure I may have been one of the weakest links on the team chain. I was also reasonably sure my absence or presence had very little to do with whether or not my team won or lost any of the games on our schedule. And you know what? I may not have even been the weakest link on the team. Maybe I was somewhere in the middle. But that team was still going to steamroll pretty much everybody we played, and it had nothing to do with me. Nope, I never could really come to terms with that weakest link nonsense. At least in terms of being a member of that football team. But I can't argue the idea as a form of motivation for a high school sports team, as long as the team isn't made up of a bunch of deep thinkers. Now, if the girl who occupies the end of the bench and rarely sees any playing time on the basketball court figures out that she can loaf during sprints at the end of practice, what's the harm in that? From certain perspectives, maybe there's no harm. But here's the rub as I see it. It all hinges on perspective or vantage point or point of view, however you choose to frame the semantics. My mediocre abilities as a scrawny third-string running back on a juggernaut rural high school football team probably had actually little effect on the outcomes of any games that team played. So does that blow up the whole weakest link theory? Time, experience, multiple successes, and probably even more failures tell me no. I perhaps changed my tune, and my perspective has most certainly shifted in the decades since I failed to become the reincarnation of Gale Sayers. You're always going to be a link in a chain, even if you don't understand or recognize your part or your role in that chain. And every chain links to another chain. I've always been fond of the saying, no man is an island. It's something I've often preached to my kids, mostly inadvertently by things I've said or done, for better or worse. All too often, what I've said or done has had a negative effect on my section of the chain. Instead of strengthening the chain, whatever chain it may be, I've ended up smashing a link with a 12-pound sledge. But experience, both good and bad, has proven I'm always linked to someone besides myself. And if I choose to be a weak link or a strong link, somehow or other, someone else will eventually be the recipient of the results of that choice. So in the end, I'm afraid I must report that you're probably better off buying into the weakest link hocus pocus, even if coach never puts you into the game. This is Paul Marchant signing off with another version of Irons in the Fire, wishing you nothing but the best. And remember, if you'd like to reach out to me, I can be reached at paul@progressivepublish.com by email or through my social media links on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, or Instagram. My book, Musings of a Would-Be Renaissance Cowboy, can be found by searching Amazon by book title or author name. That's me, Paul Marchant.
And that's going to do it. Once again, not just for this week, but permanently. It's been a pleasure bringing you the program for more than a decade. And my hope is that we've been informative and that you've enjoyed hearing the program each weekend over the years. Special thanks to Paul Marchant, my good friends at the Idaho Farm Bureau, to Ben Eborn, who for years provided us great livestock reports, and thanks to the program director and manager of this radio station. Thank you to the USDA, the American Farm Bureau, to our congressional delegation, our friends at the Idaho Department of Agriculture and the Idaho Rangeland Resources Commission. Once again, thanks most of all to Idaho's farmers and ranchers and you, the listener. It's to you I bid farewell on this final episode of the Idaho Farm and Ranch Show. I'm Neil Larson.